afternoon. Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. And I am the host. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. And our digital media producer, who would normally be here with us, is Manny Kozari. But he is in the hospital, and we just want to send out our love and prayers to Manny, because we hope he does such a great job for us, and I hope he's listening. Anyway, we've got something that's very important. As you all know, America's Heroes Group Roundtable with Partner Veteran Business Project. And we have with us on our live line, Lynn Lauder, a major U.S. Marine co-founder and co-CEO of the Veteran Business Project. We also have... Hi, Lynn. How you doing?
Hi, Cliff. I'm doing okay.
Good.
How about you?
Good, good. Thanks for being with us. We also have Dale Eisenberg, son of a World War II pilot and co-founder of CEO of Veteran Business Project. Dale, how you doing?
So it's great. Glad to talk to you.
Good, good, good. Thank you for being here. Listen, it's you folks. Well, who wants to tell us about the Veteran Business Project, and then I'll ask you a question.
Cliff, sure, happy to. This is Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn, go right ahead.
I think it's important, to get the information out because our phones are ringing. Veteran Business Project is a 501c3 organization. Our mission is simply one thing: to get veterans and military spouses into business for themselves. So normally we offer all the time free business matchmaking for veterans and spouses, an assigned success manager like myself or Dale. We help establish a plan of action. We offer ongoing mentoring throughout the entire process, from looking to find a business to actually helping them locate a business, and then the entire transaction in between. We also assist in helping to find funding. Our website is www.veteranbusiness.org, and our phone number is 833-883-8249. Obviously, Cliff, there's a lot going on since we last talked, that's
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Right.
By way of this coronavirus crisis, so we're primarily monitoring and supplying information to the various veterans calling in on how to weather the storm. If they'll come and register at our website, we'll have ongoing access to information for them. I might add, I'm going to kick this over to Dale in just a second. I was recently out in Washington, D.C., by a teleconference with the SBA Advisory Committee on Veteran Business Affairs, which is an appointed committee. It's independent. We report to the Congress, the White House, mm-hmm. and we had called a meeting at our urging to the SBA. And we had three SBA representatives on the conference call, and we were asking questions of them. There are two programs that are available to veterans right now, and Dale's going to be going into that in a second. We talked to them about making sure their website stayed up so people could access the information at the SBA site. And then we also talked about what's going to be happening here once this, it's called CARES Act. This is the bailout money program that President Trump just signed into being here a day or so ago. How is that going to work? So they are expecting 30.2 million calls into the SBA. Now, they're going to be busy because we have in our country now, Cliff, 30 million plus small businesses out there. So the SBA is going to have a lot of action. They said they cannot do this program without the energetic help of participating banks. So mm-hmm. the programs will be, the money will be administered through banks, local banking in the main. So that's part of what's happening here. But this whole thing is evolving as we go. If you don't mind, Cliff, I'd like to volley it over to my partner here and buddy, Dale Eisenberg, to talk sure. a bit more about the two SBA programs that are out there now and available to veterans and their spouses.
Love to hear about
sure.
it. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn. So, in any event, since we last talked, by the way, I'll repeat our website one more time. It's veteranbusinessproject.org. So it's spelled just the way it sounds. And again, our phone number is 833-883-8249. So just a real quick update. Even through this entire situation, the way it's unfolding, we've still had a number of people signing up with us. And actually, we send a newsletter out to our emailing list. So if veterans have questions, they're certainly welcome to reach us. We've gone over 100 now of people in my pipeline that are looking for businesses. And there's going to be actually, after this ends, a lot of businesses that are going to come forward looking to transition out. So in any event, Lynn mentioned the other site, and that is the SBA site. It's disasterloan.sba.gov. And I've looked at the site. I actually have 4 restaurants, and I'm trying to navigate this as well. And it's been quite a challenge. The newest program coming out, the one I just cited, is a little more involved, and that's more tailored towards past crises and relief programs. So the newer one, we're waiting to hear. We don't know all the details yet. I spoke to my bankers. Best information is we just have to wait and decipher all the information come Monday and Tuesday. So what I've done, this is for my own self, is I actually had to close 3 of the restaurants. And one, we just do curbside service, and we follow all the protocols, you know, dictated by the CDC and their recommendations. Other than that, my advice is just as the mayor is asking, stay in place, shelter in place. Do what you can to help mitigate the transference of this coronavirus. So, Lynn, did I miss anything that you wanted to go over with me?
No, I think you covered it real well. That kind of brings you up to speed on the front and how it's impacting our organization, Cliff.
Sure, yeah. No, this is something that... What are they telling you to do in the interim, Dale?
Well, they're telling us they're not giving us a lot of information. The information that's coming out, whether it's from the National Restaurant Association or other organizations, is they first suggested the disasterloan.sba.gov site to start filling out that documentation. I'm still going to follow through on that, and I can't give people advice on what to do, only for myself, and so I'll probably have that prepared and ready so I can decide Monday after talking to bankers or whoever I deal with. If they say go ahead and submit it, I'll submit it. And we're just waiting for clarification on how to proceed with the new program. The money that from the new program sounds like it's going to be very helpful for small businesses under 500. And believe me, we're looking forward to that because we've had to lay off a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that are hurting, and they want to know what's going to happen next.
That's right. That's right. I hope this is going to work.
I think it's going to be a great program.
Yeah. I think it is. Let me ask you a question, Dale, that has nothing to do with the program. Okay.
Sure, go ahead.
You're the son of a World War II pilot. Can I just ask, what kind of a plane did he fly?
It was a B-17. Is that correct, Lynn?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
B-17. That's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. All right. Let's continue on this. What else should people know now who want to get involved?
In talking to the SBA, Cliff, at our conference call the other day with our committee, if people have an SBA loan, the SBA recommends that they readily admit that, you know, as I said before, they cannot get this program done without the help of participating banks. So one thing we did learn is if anybody out there has an SBA loan for their business, whatever, the SBA recommends that they go to their bank immediately. You know, the SBA is not a lender. They're a guarantor, as you know. loan guarantor. But if they recommend, if you have an SBA loan, get to your bank immediately where that SBA loan was sourced through, and get in line and request for a bridge loan, Cliff, a bridge loan. Mm-hmm. The SBA told us they're going to be backing those loans. They realize people are going to have to be able to pay some bills and eat and so forth between now and the time that the money flows through either one of those SBA programs. So we're getting the word out to our veterans wide and large, but that applies to anybody listening in.
Sure.
That is that has an SBA loan, Cliff. So that's important information. The banks are on notice, and they should be helpful and cooperative.
Anyone who's listening on WVON, the number so you can get information from these great gentlemen is 312-374-8130. 312-374-8130. This is going to be a very interesting situation here. What else do we need to know, either Glenn or Dale?
You know, Cliff, I would say Dale made the important point, because as we well know, our country has never done this before. This is, I think, and many people think, and certainly, Cliff, with your background, 82nd Airborne and all, that we are literally at war with an unseen enemy, if you will. This is a time to pull together. We're telling people, you know, this is a time we need to come together as people and pull in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And that's when America gets things done, not when we're griping and you know, having our disagreements with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot here that's going to happen. So I watch the news carefully for any developments that are of significance to me, my family, for one, and other veterans, for two. So we tell people, follow the doggone protocols that are out there. Seriously. Stay at home if at all possible. Mm-hmm. If you got seniors out there, some of the services that are staying open, grocery stores and such, they recommend for senior people to go at odd hours. Out here where I live, the grocery stores are opening up like at 6 o'clock a.m. Cliff, so that seniors can get up early, get in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. You know, it's being smart from a personal perspective. Listen carefully to the news information that's coming out. This loan program, Dale is right, and you are right. It's going to be important, and I think it's going to be successful. But we've never done this before. Imagine trying to unleash $2 trillion into the economy and to do it intelligently and effectively. That's not an easy thing to do.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, people have high expectations, but we're going to have to be as patient as we can and keep ourselves as healthy as possible as this thing works its way through, Cliff. Dale, would you have anything you'd want to add on to what I just said?
Sure. Well, one of the things I want to still, you know, make clear is that we're here and we're still available for veterans looking for businesses. We still have people registering every day. Right now, we've kind of shifted our focus to helping veterans that have questions about how to handle their business. The best way, again, is to register at our website, and we will answer any questions that we can possibly help them with. But right now, for instance, I got a call yesterday from the two Navy vets that purchased their tour boat business over on the lakefront. And, of course, they're not going anywhere at this point, but they were curious how to address it, where to go. And those are things that we still continue to do, and we have access to some good financial institutions that can give them some answers.
Well, that's the big thing.
That continues on.
Yeah. I want to make sure everybody has that who has an interest. Give us the website again, please.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's veteranbusinessproject.org. Mm-hmm. And our phone number is 833-883-8249.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry, we're here to
help any way we can.
The phone number again? I'm sorry.
It's 8249.
8249.
Gotcha. That's a lot of eights and threes.
That's what I want to make sure.
833-883-8249. Yeah.
That's it? Okay. That's great. No, there are going to be a lot of people looking to get into some kind of business, that's for sure.
Well, and it's tough enough to get into business before this.
That's right.
So now our job is to help people remain in business and help navigate through these tough times.
Exactly. What has been the responses that you've heard thus far with the problem that we have?
A lot of what Dale has been talking about, small business in America, they're the first one, I think, to experience the ups and downs of the economy. All that being said, the backbone of America, Cliff, is still small business. And so it's important for our small business community to get through this, to thrive and survive if at all possible. And small business people are pretty resilient people to begin with. They have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, these are self-starters. They've got to be, and they've got to be disciplined. And, the guy on the other, with my buddy here, has been in the restaurant business for 42-plus years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Successfully. Yeah. And he's an amazing guy. But, he's like, I tell people he's like a Marine gunnery sergeant. He's everywhere doing everything all the time, practically. He's in the game.
Let me throw out one last thing about I know our time's coming short, but that disasterloan.sba.gov, I did notice, had some specific questions for veterans. So make sure you look for that box to check off.
Okay. All right. Certain things that are positive to it, veterans? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's my guess that they're going to treat it a little differently.
So. I got you. Positively. Hope. Yeah. That's what we're
It should be.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, in our last couple of minutes, Dale, Glenn, somebody want to say something?
A message of hope. That old saying, Cliff, in every adversity is a seed for an equal or greater benefit. America will come through this. We'll come out of it on the other side. We're going to learn by it.
Right.
I think anybody that's been around a while realizes that once something like this has happened, it's never happened before, it'll happen again. Down the road, it'll happen again. For whatever reasons, one can only imagine. But we will get through this, and we will survive, and we'll move on with our lives. Now, the reality of it is, Cliff, the average age of the current veteran-owned business population in America, which constitutes 9.1% of our small businesses, the average age is 73.
Wow.
And so many of these people are going to want to go ahead now and put their business up to be sold. Mm-hmm. So for the younger veterans in particular, or any other veterans for that matter, we expect there's going to be some really good businesses coming online. And it'll be a good time to purchase a business on the back side of this.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be an upturn, and our phone is already starting to ring on that account.
that's great. Average age of the owners is 73.
The average age, that's right. Absolutely. Yep.
Wow.
So some of these folks, it's not a matter of, it happens a lot of times. These are baby boomers. They want to retire to Florida. And the kids don't want anything to do with the business. They went to college. They're in California. They come to us looking for help locating a veteran, and we always do. And that's the essence of our program. We call it V-Harmony. We're a matchmaker is what we are. We're a charity. We're not charging anybody anything.
You folks are just great. Thank you so much for being with us, Lynn Lauder.
It's our pleasure. Thanks to you and Glenda.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Lynn Lauder and Dale Eisenberg. You are more than welcome. I'm sure you're going to get some responses on this. This is a great, great, great program. Thanks to both of you. All righty. You too now.
War is not the answer. Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services. And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, everyone. You know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice, special sort of moment. Together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, roundtable, financially speaking, with Sean Claiborne is with us. Before I go to Sean, March is National Women's History Month. We always like to mention that. Today is Saturday, March 28th. I am, of course, Cliff Kelly. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith, digital media producer Manny Corazari, who is ill
in the hospital.
And we certainly pray for him and miss him, as everybody does. So, are you there, Sean?
I'm here. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you well. He's a panelist. Sean's VP Wintrust Investments, and serves as a financial advisor located in Lansing, Illinois, at First National Bank. out there in Illinois, and America's Heroes Group public policy panelist. And we're always happy to have him. How you doing?
Pretty good, considering.
Yeah, no kidding. No, considering is right.
Yeah, practicing my social distance called in today.
Oh, my goodness. Social distance call, yeah. I guess that's what a lot of people would like to do, rather, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
especially with the stern words from the government, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're an expert on this issue about the financial $2 trillion stimulus package and all. Tell us what we need to know, Sean.
Yeah, well, first, let's go back and see what happened in the markets, which kind of prompted all this thing with the stimulus package or things like that. So people looking at their 401k statements and their IRAs and the retirement accounts and their investment accounts and saw that they saw some significant losses. The U.S. markets Friday's close were down about 25%. They're still down about 25% for the year, despite the fact that we had a rally of 13% for the last week. So people's IRAs, 401ks, and investment accounts have been affected. Some people saw 20 to 30% losses in their account values starting in September 24th. So the speed of what happened is what caused a lot of this to be such a big concern. So we had the fastest recorded correction in U.S. history. Also, we had back-to-back historic one-day losses in the Dow and the S&P 500. And also, this took about just a few weeks for this to happen. So if you put it in perspective, we actually had the same amount of loss in the last couple of weeks than it took the housing crisis to affect in about a year and a half. So that's a pretty significant crash, a pretty significant loss we saw in the markets.
It sure
now,
is.
How, mm-hmm. What was that?
I just said it sure is. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, but how it happened is the thing is that shipping out of China started to grind to a complete halt. So when the coronavirus first hit in Wuhan, shipping ports to contain the virus were shut down. And it wasn't something that was prompted by the government. It was actually something prompted by the vendors and sellers and shippers from around the world. They stepped in and said, you know what, we want to shut these things down because we don't want this stuff to spread. And their orders started to stop coming in. So the ports kind of ground to a halt. The Chinese government did step in and try to limit it from their perspective to kind of keep people away from the ports and things, and also shut down the ports. But then as businesses started to look at what was coming out of China, which was basically nothing, they then couldn't supply their vendors and their shippers and their people that they wanted to sell to. So it basically shut down global commerce. So you add in social distancing, bars, convention centers, sports, hotels, and travel. Those are things that drive the economy. So the entire supply chain was disrupted. We had a disruption in commerce. Okay. So last week alone, for example, when the markets saw the reactions of the markets dropping, what they're looking at, what they're worried about is how far this might go as far as unemployment happens. So people kept talking about the recession or next upcoming recession. That could potentially happen. We had 3.3 million unemployment filings just last week. And that's the most we've ever had in a week at any given reported time. You can't think of another time, but the Great Depression, we had that many unemployment filings in 1 week alone. And this is just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg.
Wow.
So a lot of people have been asking me, what do you do in a situation like this?
Sure.
But the thing is, you know, the big question is, okay, what, you know, how long is this going to last? What do I do? Well, the thing is, in the past, when we're talking about, when I was on your show, Cliff, about the importance of taking some of the profits off of the table. You know what I'm saying? But ahead of time. So when things like this happen, when you see these all-time highs in the markets, you want to start taking some stuff off the table. But now, if you didn't do that back then, you don't want to make this panic and make arbitrary changes, because what you might do is either make your losses permanent, or it might take you longer to recover your losses. So you want to kind of, you don't want to just stay the course. I know people say, okay, stay the course and just ride it all out. That's more nuanced than what people really give credit for, because it depends on what you're holding. So one of the key things you have to understand is what you're holding, and also you have to understand that each investment in your portfolio acts differently and have different types of risk. So if you have stocks are very iffy. So if you have stocks in your portfolio, you want to pay particular close attention to those things, because those are the things that can go belly up in 6 months, a year, and so on. So if you're worried about waking up one day and all your money being gone, stocks are the ones that they have the most damage and the most potential to do that. That's why most investors, even though a lot of people will downplay the need for those, but mutual funds and ETFs are usually better investments for people that are more conservative and concerned about losing all their money. Because of the way that they're structured, you don't really have that risk on the table. It's very unlikely, very hard for you to lose all your money in a mutual fund or an ETF. Most 401ks and most retirement plans, that's what they're composed of. but they also sometimes have stocks inside there, particularly if you're in a private company. So pay close attention to your private companies, people that work for General Motors, people that worked for United Airlines. They know exactly what I'm talking about, because a lot of those retirement accounts got wiped out when they filed bankruptcy. So you got to be very careful about what's in your portfolio. Data, of course, is kind of a good advice for a roundabout advice, but you have to be pay very close attention to what exactly you have in your portfolio. If you have annuities or structured notes, be very careful about just selling those things outright because you're panicking. When you do that, you might actually cause more damage than good. So if you have an annuity or a structured note, people that have structured notes are kind of know what I'm talking about. If you haven't heard that name before, you may not own one. But those are types of investments that are very popular today that many of the people in the country have, that you have to pay attention to, and don't be so eager to sell those things. They can cause more damage than good when you sell them, you know, okay? Because they have benefits and certain features built in there for protection for these types of times. So, you know, get help before you make these decisions, of course. Get a fiduciary, somebody that you can actually trust who's on your side. Don't make these financial decisions just by yourself, okay? Mm-hmm. Usually when you're making these financial decisions, there's always more than just yourself involved. Find that person, whether it's a beneficiary, a spouse, a child, someone. Bring that person in there with you. Get them involved in the conversation so that way you're going to make a better decision for the long run. And always get a second or third opinion. You know, it's never you do that with your health, you do that with other things, do that with your finances as well. You can let somebody else that you trust see those things and see if they see anything that's missing in your portfolio or maybe things that might we want to look out for. But your goals have to be aligned with the goals of your portfolio. And that's what it comes down to. It's not just about chasing the biggest number or the biggest return on an investment. It's about making sure your investments fit what you're trying to do with your money. And that's what a good financial advisor can do for you, is help you figure out what you're trying to do and articulate what you're trying to do with your financial plan, okay? And work with someone who works with you, not against you, okay?
Very interesting, and that's why we have him with us, Sean Claiborne, VP Wintrust Investments, and serves as a financial advisor located in Lansing, Illinois, at First National Bank of Illinois. And he's, of course, America's Heroes Group public policy panelist, and gives us great information. And if somebody would like to say something to him, ask him a question. WVON call-in number is 312-374-8130. Did you
able to get the question? This kicking into the stimulus package, the stimulus checks are coming out. A lot of people have questions about that, so we're probably get a lot of questions on that topic.
Yeah, well, what about that?
So there's a $2.2 trillion stimulus package coming out. So
yes.
I broke it down into like four basic main ingredients.
Okay.
So it was really a stimulus check, which we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You got the unemployment increase and expansion. You got social distancing relief. That's really what it is. To kind of make it easier to kind of digest, understand what it is. And then you have small business lending and corporate relief. Okay. So the first thing that people are looking for, that you want to pay attention to, is pretty soon there should be some checks coming out your way or a direct deposit into your bank account. And people have been asking questions, how is this going to happen? How does this work? Is it designed for laid off workers or people that who were affected by the coronavirus, who have to stay home to get kind of something close to what feels like a full paycheck? That's what it's designed to do. Don't look at it as you know, this big bonus coming out of nowhere, flying out of the sky. It's basically what it essentially is if you made less than $75,000 in your last tax return, either in 2018 or this year in 2019, you're basically going to get $1,200 per adult or $500 per qualifying child who's either age 16 or younger. So if you're 17 or older, you don't get the $500 for a qualifying child, even if you claim them as a dependent. Now, if you have someone who's in your household or if yourself is an adult, just make less than $75,000, then you get $1,200. That's what the deposit is going to be or your check's going to be. So if you're a married couple, that's $2,400. If you have four children and they're all age of 16, that's $500 per child. So literally can make almost $4,400 just off of this stimulus package, that one-time check. So one-time check's coming your way. Now, the thing is, people have to realize is that they're going off of your 2018 or 2019 tax filing. So if you didn't file your 2019 taxes already, they're going to go back to your 2018 filing and see how you got your funds. So if you got a direct deposit check, they're going to use the same information off of that 2018 or 19 tax filing to deposit the money in that exact same account. Or if you got a check in the mail, they're going to send it to you the same way you got your last refund. Okay, so that's the thing to be to kind of watch out for. So it also does not matter, you know, what type of work you're doing. So you could be a self-employed person, you could be a business owner, you could be an Uber driver, whatever. If you made less than $75,000, then it's gonna, you're getting a check coming your way, basically. You don't have to file for it, you have to claim it. It's already being sent to you, and that's in process now. They're hopefully trying to get these checks out and these payments done within the next 3 weeks. That's what the goal is. So we'll see how that happens. In past situations like this, it's taken as long as 2 or 3 months, but they're trying to fast track this and really get this out within, hopefully for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll see what happens. Okay. Now, if you earn, if you're head of household, you can get the full $1,200 if you earn less than $112,000 or $112,500 for the year. So if you make less than $112,500, you as solid head of household, then you can also get the full $1,200. The cap out, the payment stops if you make more than $99,000. So between $75,000 to $99,000 for the year, your payments phase out for adults. Now, you still might be eligible for getting a child benefit, but they're going to phase out for adults. Right about before the you get your payment, they're going to send you a letter in the mail from the IRS that says how they're making the payment or if the payment was already sent. There's also information on that letter that tells you where to go or who to call, contact, if you didn't get your payment. So if you moved recently, went to bought a different house or living in a different place, or if you changed bank accounts, you want to pay attention to that letter or reach out to the IRS, let them know what your updated information is. And that's extremely critical.
We are so pleased to have Sean Claiborne with us, Vice President of Wintrust Investments, and serves as a financial advisor located in Lansing, Illinois. And he's also, of course, America's Heroes Group public policy panelist. And we have a couple of callers. Let's go to Shakia. Shakia, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thanks for calling. Mm-hmm.
All right, I just got on. I didn't hear if he explained this or piggyback on this, but I'm in a process right now of trying to get a pre-approval first-time home buyer. And you said the recession talk. Is it a good idea right now to try to buy? Because right now, me and my partner, we're going the route of that my partner's trying to buy a single family, and I'm trying to buy a investment property. So is it, does it logically make sense to try now?
Honestly, I think it's the perfect time to try now. Rates are low. They just cut the rates down to nearly zero. So this is going to be the best time of, and probably in your lifetime, that you're going to see properties that are, that might be not too priced too high. And at the same time, you're going to have a good time, easier time getting a loan from a bank to try to finance your property. The only thing I'm going to pay attention to, which is always the case for people that invest in real estate, is you want to make sure that you have the income set aside to support your loan payment. So kind of factor that in your budgeting process. Buying real estate is just strictly a numbers game. So when you go and buy real estate, whether it's a three flat or if it's a single family home, me personally, I prefer multi-unit buildings because you can always live in one unit and then you always have two other sources of income to support your mortgage payment. So, but you have to make sure that your income is going to be stable enough to support either the rehab project or the rent if you don't have, if you have vacancies in your property.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that was a question. This me and my partner first time and it's scary. So we don't know because it happened to my grandmother with the Fannie Mae, you know, with the economy went down and everybody under the water. So now this happening, everybody says it's a good idea because rates are low, but it's not a recession talk. Like, geez, you know. So
yeah, right.
But thank
it's
you.
Definitely.
Thank you, Cliff.
Before,
okay,
yeah,
Shakia.
Make sure that you do your research. That's,
right.
That's the most important thing. It's a numbers game. That's what it all is.
Okay. Shakia, all you're right, welcome. Yes, thank you so much for calling. All right, we're continuing with Sean Claiborne. Let's go to Tommy.
Hey, Cliff, it's always great to hear your voice, and
thank
good
you,
afternoon
Tommy.
To your guests. I heard him speak of tax returns for 2018, 2019. I'd like to ask the question, what about the retired? What about people on Social Security? What about people who are self-employed? And if this is a one-time check of $1,200, what happens if an individual who's single is out of work for the next 6 months? So if you don't, I'm sure you can answer this question, but Cliff and your guests, I'd like to ask you guys if y'all be willing to invest in me digging for gold in my backyard, because I don't see an end to this.
That's a good question. But yeah, so
that
basically, it does not matter if you're unemployed or self-employed. You will get that the payment as long as you filed your taxes. That's why I always stress over and over and over again. People that are retired, you must still file your taxes. These things pop up every now and again. George Bush did the same thing back when he gave the stimulus check for $300. People that didn't file their taxes didn't get the money. As long as you filed your 2018 or 19 taxes, if you haven't done so, do so right away. They will send you those funds as long as you qualify for income. So if you're unemployed, if you're retired, if you're on Social Security, you can be a business owner. You can basically get that check just by waiting. You know, but if you didn't file your taxes, the IRS has nothing to go off of. You have no way to, and they have no way of finding you. Now, they may come out something down the road, down the pipe, depending on how that unfolds, to help people that maybe didn't file. They may get some kind of retroactive payment. But at this point, it's very likely you will not get a payment if you didn't file your taxes, no matter if you had no income or just if you made $5. Just file your taxes. If nothing else, for informational purposes only. Doesn't mean you're going to pay taxes. Doesn't mean you're going to get a refund back, but you can still file your taxes. That way, these benefits pop up, which they do every so often, but once every 10 years. These things will basically help you get your money. Now, for unemployment situations, that's another thing we want to touch bases on, because that's also really important. At the state level, which is also part of this package, they're going to increase unemployment by $600 per week. Okay, so whatever the state level unemployment is, you're going to get an additional $600 across the board on top of that paycheck every single week. Okay, and the range across the United States is anywhere between $275 a week to about $700 a week for unemployment. So every state is different. Every state has their own different caps and things like that. The federal government steps in and adds an additional $600 to that. Okay, so the difference this time, and that was great that the caller called in, because this also applies to people who are part-time employment, self-employed, Uber and Lyft drivers. People in these categories never could apply for unemployment benefits before. So you want to start looking at, within the next week or so, just go to your unemployment office in your state and apply for unemployment. The stimulus check, you don't have to apply for. It's just a matter of whether or not you actually filed your taxes in the last 2 years. For the unemployment increase, that you have to go and apply for and see if you qualify. Does not matter. Once again, you could be an Uber or Lyft driver and you're staying home because, you know, you're trying to take care of a spouse or someone who is sick. All those things are covered now, okay? That leads to the social distancing relief I talked about. So people who are also covered are people staying home because of the COVID scare. The social distancing, stay-at-home orders, if you have to watch your children because the schools are closed, if you're diagnosed with COVID, or if you have someone in your family who has COVID and you're taking care of them, you actually can still get unemployment assistance, okay? So you apply for that at your state level. People who are quarantined. You know, people that have to stay at home either because their employer said so or because a healthcare worker told them to. A doctor said, okay, you maybe don't have the virus per se, but you might have been exposed. Therefore, you should self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. All those situations qualify for unemployment.
Interesting. Very interesting. Sean Claiborne is with us. Knows all the answers.
And one thing to keep in mind, though, Cliff, which is, you know, which may not shock a lot of people, but if you owe back child support, that might actually limit your ability to get either unemployment benefits or this stimulus check. So if you have back child support and you're in the system for that, they may actually reduce or eliminate your stimulus check for that.
Gotcha. Let's go to Smith. Hello, you're on WVON.
Okay, thank you very much. I have a situation where last year I had to pay taxes. And this year I still have to pay taxes. I have a full-time job and a part-time job, but I had to pay taxes. So what about individuals who have had to pay taxes? Will they qualify for that stimulus pack?
It still qualifies. Whether you pay taxes or got a refund back, it does not matter. This is unemployment assistance and also stimulus checks. So if you had to pay taxes last year, this is still a check coming to you automatically if you filed your taxes. If you're filing for unemployment benefits, that's based on the idea that you might have to be affected by this COVID stay-at-home order or some kind of illness you might have been exposed to because of COVID. So that does not stop you from going and apply for unemployment benefits. If you're not working these next 2 weeks or forever how long, apply for the benefits, see what you qualify for. Other than that, make sure your information is up to date with the IRS so they can send you your money. Okay.
How does it work if I've had to pay and I never put my bank account information on there because I always had to pay? So do I have to check with the Treasury to make sure they have my information for my direct deposit?
Right, so you want to check with the IRS. So the IRS is going to send you a letter that tells you where they're going to send the money to. So people that got checks in the mail, so say you didn't put your information in, as long as your return is on file, they're going to send that check to the address of record on your filing. As long as you didn't move, you should be getting a check in the mail.
All right. Smith, thank you so much. Let's go to Rose. Rose, hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Cliff, to you and your guests. I'm glad you're on. I have a question. I'm in the medical field. I'm a nurse. I'm also diabetic. Would that qualify me, because I'm high risk of receiving the virus, would that qualify me for being receiving unemployment?
It could. I can't answer whether or not you actually will qualify, because there's certain situations that they look at. But mainly the big qualifier is that do you have to stay at home because of either exposure or because of risk of exposure or because you have to watch a child, or either your employer said, we don't have any work, stay at home for 2 weeks. If you're just sitting at home because you've been working from home, like, for example, this past week or so, I've been sitting at home because we have a stay-at-home order from the bank I work for. So face-to-face employees are working from home because I have the ability to do so. I'm not going to be able to get unemployment because I'm getting money from – I still get paid for my job instead of working from home. But if you're not getting an income, then, yeah, that could put you in the boat of being able to qualify for unemployment assistance.
But if I'm at risk working around in a nursing home, Would that be me being qualified because I'm high risk?
Only if you were asked to stay home. So if you were asked to stay home or have to stay home because of it, that's a qualifier. If you're still going to work every day, you know, or you're still getting paid every day, then that may not qualify. Now, I would still encourage you to go to the state unemployment office, explain your situation to them, and they'll basically see if you qualify. But there's still an application process to that. So depending on your situation, they might tell you, you know what, and even also to check with your HR department of your employer, because in some cases I've even seen HR departments saying, you know what, you might qualify because of your health condition, not only get some time off, but also get unemployment assistance, COVID assistance, what they're calling it, at the HR department.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. All right. Great information.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff that's coming down the pipeline. One of the things, too, is that they also have what's called a small business relief, or what they call paycheck protection, with the actual plan actually put into place. And this actually pertains to 501c3s, 501c19 veteran organizations are affected by this, tribal businesses. Basically, what they can provide is up to $10,000 to $10 million worth of loans. Now, the thing is I'm very happy about is, when I kept preaching about this over the last few weeks, is that when governments give out these loan packages, even if they're low interest rate packages, there needs to be provision in there that makes them forgivable at some point. If something, because what businesses are afraid of is that they're struggling, they don't want to take on more debt, okay? So this actually allows them to take on low interest rate debt, and there's provisions built into the system to allow those loans to be forgiven under certain circumstances. So if you're taking on employees, one of the key things you're looking for is don't fire your employees, okay? Keep your employees on the books. Even if you send them home and can't pay them, just don't fire them. Because if they have health insurance, things like that, the government wants people to get their health insurance and then hopefully get some of the stimulus money from the COVID package. At the same time, have health care, have some money to kind of keep them going for a little bit, and then not have as many people on unemployment. So
Sean,
that's the main goal of this.
Sean, you're brilliant. Thank you so much. We will be calling you soon.
Yes. Right. Everybody look forward to the Financial Speaking Out monthly segment with Sean Claiborne, the brilliant Sean Claiborne. Sean, thanks so much. Seriously.
My pleasure.
You're great.
Looking forward to seeing you next Saturday. I mean, you calling in for the, you know, Public Policy Roundtable, as always.
Yep. And that, of course, is Glenda Smith, our executive producer. Glenda.
Thank you all always for your support and listening to us every week. We sincerely appreciate our global listening audience. Regarding any information, resources, referrals that's needed, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. As always, we are grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders, and our articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the one and only Governor of Talk Radio, Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group Voices, please call Chicago Crusaders, 773-752-2500. Send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com and request a subscription. Normally, I would say thank you for watching us live on Facebook. Our digital media producer, Manny, texted me earlier today. He was admitted to the hospital. So absolutely, we are sending our blessings and prayers. Manny, I know you're listening.